man, also known as the worst president in United States history, loves ice cream, lounging on beaches, and sniffing children. Joe.
Who is me? Wait, where am I?
I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It is Monday, March 25th in the year 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. If you have not joined us on Locals, help keep us independent and keep the machine out of my brain. RubinReport.locals.com. And we've got a post-game show after every show where you can question me, query me, poke me, all sorts of fun things. And today is, I would say, a little bit back to normal. You know, the Friday show was kind of on the fly with this whole Ben and Candace fracas and Candace leaving the Daily Wire. It's still a little unclear as to whether it was her choice, their choice, mutual choice. I suppose we'll find out. There might be lawsuits down the way. Who the hell knows? But I have to say, over the weekend, I had a bit of a strange taste in my mouth because I ended the show, and it had nothing to do with not brushing my teeth. I did do that sometimes three times a day, actually. I ended the show by saying that, you know, whatever side you're on of this thing, Ben, or I agree with the Daily Wire, or Candace, or whatever, it's like we have so many bigger problems right now. Between all of the woke nonsense and the gender confusion of our children and all of the lunacy at the border and watching everything happening internationally and wars and all of this stuff. It's like whatever world, whatever divides, say, a Ben Shapiro and a Candace Owens, they roughly, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think want to live in the same country. And we've got to put together, we don't have to be unified. You know, people always say we have to be unified, we have to whatever. It's like, no, that's not really right. But we have to kind of try to set aside our stuff to deal with the bigger problems at the moment. So today's show, we're going to be talking about the bigger problems and poking holes in some of the ideas and arguments that have been leading us to this pit of hell that we seem to be going down. So we're going to start with an interview that Jordan Peterson did with this guy, Destiny. Now, what's interesting here is that there are not a lot of people on the left, at least in America today, that are willing to debate, right? This was the risk. If you called everybody racist and Nazis and homophobes and transphobes for years, you just wouldn't debate anybody that was one of those horrible things. So there are not a lot of people on the left willing to debate things. It used to be a little bit easier for me to get people on the left to debate. I'm actually not that interested in it at this point in that I think we've poked holes in most of their arguments. But Jordan Peterson sat down with this guy, Destiny, who is a lefty YouTuber. He's a gamer and a streamer. Apparently he's married and he lets other dudes bang his wife. That's a thing, I guess, if you're a modern lefty streamer. But Jordan sat down with the guy and they hashed out some of the differences between, I would say, people who are for the machine and who are against the machine. So we're going to show you a couple clips related to that and then dive into how that is connected to so much more as it relates to immigration and big tech and all that. So let's just dive right in. First, one of the things that they got into was talking about climate change. And Jordan is obviously, let's say, suspect about climate change, the arguments behind climate change, and the policies that the people pushing the climate change agenda actually have. Take a look.
I think it's pretty undeniable at this point that there is an impact on climate across the planet.
I think that's highly deniable. We have no idea what the impact is from. We don't know where the carbon dioxide is from. We can't measure the warming of the oceans. We have terrible temperature records going back 100 years. Almost all the terrestrial temperature detection sites were first put outside urban areas. And then you have to correct for the movement of the urban areas. And then you introduce an error parameter that's larger than the purported increase in temperature that you're planning to measure. This isn't data. This is guess. And there's something weird underneath it. There's something weird that isn't oriented well towards human beings underneath it. It has this guise of compassion. Oh, we're going to save the poor in the future. It's like that's what the bloody communists said. And they killed a lot of people doing it. And we're walking down that same road now with this insistence that, you know, we're so compassionate that we care about the poor 100 years from now. And if we have to wipe out several hundred million of them now, well, that's a small price to pay for the future utopia. And we've heard that sort of thing before. And the alternative to that is to stop having global level elites plot out a utopian future or even an anti-dystopian future. And that's exactly what's happening now with organizations like the WEF.
Okay, so we're going to show you a couple other clips of this. Now, obviously, I tend to lean more on the Jordan side of this. It's like these people who haven't been able to solve many problems, only if we would give them more control of our lives, only if we would eat certain things, only if we would drive less and fly less and all of these things, could then they fix the world. And it's like, what sits beneath that? That's why he's making that connection to communism, right? People, humans are always the problem in these utopian desires, right? These utopian systems of control. So they went a little further on that, and Jordan started talking about how climate activists actually, through using compassionate responsibility, they enact something quite horrible.
The problem is, you know, once you conjure up a climate apocalypse and you make the case that there's an impending disaster that's delayed, and you might say, well, delayed how long? And the response would be, well, we're not sure, but it's likely to occur in the next 100 or so years, which is pretty inaccurate. You now have a universal get out of jail card that can be utilized extremely well by power mad psychopaths. And they will absolutely do that because power mad psychopaths use whatever they can to further their cause.
Yeah, okay. I thought we had a slightly longer version of that. The point of it is that this is the road to hell. They drag us down. Oh, in 100 years, something might happen. Give up your control of your life one way or another. We need more of your tax money for our Green New Deal, et cetera, right? We've seen this over and over again. But now I want to show you a clip where it really got heated, because Jordan has been making these arguments for a long time, that they take a little and they push you a little and you accept a little bit less over time. It doesn't really happen overnight. And that there is something much darker under the climate agenda. There's something deeply authoritarian. And remember, what was it? AOC about, what, 6 years ago said we had 12 years left. So that means we have 6 years now. Does anyone honestly believe we have 6 years until the earth explodes? It's all just made up nonsense to keep a certain amount of people hysterical. So they vote for people who have the solutions that, of course, actually aren't solutions. Here they continued about that authoritarian part that sits right underneath the woke compassion. And it gets pretty heated.
I don't think you can compare like Hitler to people that are worried about climate change. The worry that I have here is because if we're applying this.
People in Germany thought Hitler was perfectly motivated by the highest of benevolent.
If I were to take this standard of evidence and apply this lens of analysis, couldn't I say the exact same thing about the conservative constellation of belief? They don't want to intervene anywhere in the world because they don't care about the problems there. They're anti-immigration because they hate brown people. Trump wanted to ban Muslims from coming to the United States because he's xenophobic. Conservatives don't want to have taxes to help the poor because they want homeless people to starve and die in the winter.
Of that's true. And yes, you can adopt that criticism. I think the difference with regards especially to the libertarian side of the conservative enterprise, but also to some degree to the conservative enterprises, they're not building a central, gigantic organization to put forward this particular utopian claim. And so even if the conservatives are as morally addled as the leftists, and to some degree that might be true, they're not organized with the same gigantism in mind. And so they're not as dangerous at the moment. Now, they could well be, and they have been in the past, but at the moment they're not. And so, of course, you can be skeptical about people's motivations when they're brandishing the moral flag.
Why would we say that they're not as concerned about the gigantism? I feel like everybody is when it's a particular thing that they care about.
He's just so damn good, Jordan, I'm talking about, because it's just true what he said, right? Leftism tends to organize itself around an idea. And if we just give enough power to a certain set of people, we can accomplish that idea, that goal, whatever it is. Now, what Jordan's saying there is that libertarians, but conservatives by and large, they're rooted in something else. It's not rooted in just outsourcing the decision-making and the power and the autonomy. It's usually, especially with libertarians, but largely conservatives, what is it rooted in? You guys know this. It's rooted in the individual, and it's rooted in family, and it's rooted in God. So that tends to lean itself less towards these awful authoritarian moments. I actually don't have much to say about this Destiny guy. I think he's mostly confused about things, but there he is, a lefty actually sitting down with people. So I suppose that's pretty good. Here actually is where it really, that wasn't the heated part. Here's where it really gets heated when they're talking about trusting institutions and why do we trust or not trust certain things.
What I don't trust I have them. To I trust, looked at the bloody I
have,
data.
You ha- first of all, you have to trust third parties to some extent. When you go outside—
I don't have to trust—
Of course you do. You do every day. When you turn the keys in your car, you hope your engine doesn't explode. When you're drinking water, you hope that the public water or whatever tap or bottle water you got it out of isn't contaminated or poisoned with cholera.
I don't
when
do you that go- as a consequence of consensus.
No, you of course you do.
No, I don't. I do that as a consequence of observing multiple times that when I put the goddamn key in the ignition, the truck started.
Why do you know it's going to start the 50th or the 100th time? Why do you, how
don't
many times
play
do you wear the?
With me. You
I'm
know
not
perfectly
playing
well
Hume. You don't know if the denim in those jeans isn't leaking into your bloodstream. To some extent, we trust. We have to trust third-party institutions
Except
to make determination.
Except when they use force. How about
especially
that?
When they use force. We trust the police officers. We trust the
we
judicial
do,
systems.
We do. We do. We on the left trust the police. Do
to
we?
To some extent, do we? If somebody's breaking
That's
into your house,
we
who do you call?
Them.
I'm not a defunder, but if somebody's breaking into your house, you can be the most defund person in the world. Who are you going to call? Are you going to call your neighbor? Are you going to call Joe Biden? Are you going to call Obama? Are you going to call the Black Panthers? You're going to call the
cops.
Okay,
so tell me this.
Man, I mean, leftism, it just collapsed so easily when you get the slightest pushback. So suddenly you have a lefty telling you that the police are good. And then it's like, oh. At the, it's so extraordinary. But again, I don't need to crap on this guy because apparently other dudes are banging his wife and you can see the thinness of all of it, right? It's like, well, you have denim, the denim is gonna leak into your jeans. It's like, we all make calculated choices to trust in certain things. That is absolutely fine when you do. You go to Starbucks and you assume that they are not poisoning your coffee, right? And over time, they build more trust. As they don't poison you, but that is not directly connected to when people want to use force to force you to do things, and that will get us to the rest of the show because these World Economic Forum people have shown us they are willing to install leaders in countries that will force you to do things or force you to not leave your house or inject yourself with things and a whole bunch more. So we'll get to that in a sec. Let me talk to you guys about the wellness company. Guys, 2024 is the year to be prepared. It's an election year after all, and we're not dwelling on 2020 anymore. But if that time taught us anything, it's that we really do need to be prepared for anything. And this medical emergency kit from the wellness company is honestly one of the best I've seen. You won't find anything like it in a store or pharmacy. This prescription-only kit contains 8 life-saving medications, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, and Z-Pak, plus a guidebook to tell you exactly how and when to use them. Every American should have at least one of these in their home, whether it's a global conflict causing drug shortages, supply chain breakdowns, another healthcare crisis, inflation, or anything Biden's doing at the border. Being able to remove yourself from the healthcare system right now is the ultimate flex and the best thing you can do for your family. Ordering couldn't be easier. Go to twc.health/Ruben and add to cart. Use Ruben at checkout to save $45 and get free shipping. Once you've paid, complete the 2-minute intake form and your kit will be shipped to your door. No waiting for an expensive doctor's visit where they likely would refuse your request for even one of these scripts. All 8 prescription medications shipped to your door in approximately 2 weeks. Have exactly what you need when you need it for as low as the cost of a single doctor's visit. Safeguard your health today by going to twc.health/Ruben and use Ruben at checkout. Kits available only in the U.S. of A. And now back to me. All right. So showed you a couple clips of that. And it's to the backdrop of something that I talk about on this show a lot. And we've shown you this clip a bunch of times, but I think it's worth watching again. This is from about 5 years ago. Jordan Peterson on Joe Rogan's show talking about how tyranny takes small steps, right? It doesn't just magically appear and everyone bows down to dear leader. That they push and they test, right? And we've seen this. How much violence can they get away with in the streets? How many homeless people will we put up with in our cities? How much drug use? How much confusion around kids? They push and they test and they wait. And the next thing you know, the society that better people than us built is long gone. Take a look.
I just don't understand how it gets to the point
where...
Well,
things get to terrible places one tiny step at a time. You know, if I encroach on you and I'm sophisticated about it, I'm going to encroach 2 millimeters. I'm going to encroach right to the point where you start to protest. Then I'm going to stop. Then I'm going to wait. Then you're going to calm down. Then I'm going to encroach again right to the point where you protest. Then I'm going to stop. Then I'm going to wait. And I'm just going to do that forever. And before you know it, you're going to be back 3 miles from where you started, and you'll have done it one step at a time. And then you'll go, oh, how'd I get here? And the answer was, well, I pushed you a little farther than you should have gone, and you agreed. And so then I pushed you a little farther than you should have gone again, and you agreed. And if anybody's interested in this sort of process, and this is a horrifying book, if you want to read about how this process works, you can read a book called Ordinary Men by Robert Browning.
Okay, you get it. And the point is, ordinary men don't become evil overnight. They're pushed, they're tested, you see what you're willing to put up with, and then eventually they take a few more of your rights, or they inject you with this, or whatever it might be. So now let's connect that to largely what's happening in the world right now. Well, you guys know and love Klaus Schwab, the Palpatine of the World Economic Forum. Here he is talking about how they are going to protect us, wink, wink, from a new virus or some other things that they might magically come up with.
This war is really a turning point of history. And it will reshape our political and our economic landscape in the coming years. But we also are at the tail end of the most serious health catastrophe of the last 100 years, COVID-19, and we have to reinforce our resilience against a new virus, possibly, or other risks which we have on the global agenda. We also have to address urgently the issue of climate change and all the other issues related to the preservation of nature.
You have the chance to look forward to a career of 50 years. And my own opinion, yeah, maybe more, you will get some injections and some and so on. And then don't forget your avatar will continue to live. So and your brain will be replicated through artificial intelligence and algorithm. So we don't know, but at least 50.
Oh, isn't it funny, guys? In the future, there'll be more injections, et cetera, et cetera. It's all so hilarious. We could lock people down more. We'll see how much they put up with before they start killing us. I mean, that's basically where these people are at. But of course, it's not just what, and you may have seen on the banner beneath him, that was from 2022. So that was, I guess, would you still consider 22 the peak? It wasn't peak of COVID. It was as, I guess, we were getting out of COVID. But they saw an opportunity. They saw how easily we all stayed in our houses and got injected with things and everything else. And of course, why was it done? Well, it was compassionate responsibility, right? Like, you don't want to get grandma sick. You don't want to kill those kids by breathing on them. Well, okay, now they've tested us for a little while, as Jordan's talked about. And then what else could they test us on? Could they start making us eat less or eat things that they want us to eat while they eat their foie gras and their filet mignon, which I believe I'm making tonight, by the way, because I don't believe in this line of thinking. Here is a speaker at the World Economic Forum talking about how farming and fishing are ecocide and that we should probably get rid of them and, yeah, eat bugs.
I mean, ecocide as a word is becoming better known around the world, and the concept is generally mass damage and destruction of nature. But legally speaking, what our organisation and other collaborators aim to do is to have this recognised legally as a serious crime. Because one of the issues that sort of pervades all of this discussion is that we have a kind of cultural, very ingrained habit of not taking damage to nature as seriously as we take damage to people and property. And that, I mean, you know, if you're campaigning for human rights, at least you know mass murder, torture, all of these things are serious crimes. But there's no equivalent in the environmental space. And unlike an international crime like genocide that involves a specific intent, with ecocide, what we see is actually what people are trying to do, what businesses are trying to do, is make money, is farm, is fish, is do all of these things that are, producing energy and so on as well. But what's missing is the awareness and the conscience around the side effects, around the collateral damage that happens with that.
Ah, yes, the collateral damage of farming and fishing. Does this woman know where her food comes from when you get that salad or you have that piece of salmon or anything else? That isn't to say that all corporations that do farming and fishing do it all perfectly or don't do any damage to the local environment or anything else. But do you see how it's with compassion that she says it should be a serious crime. Those are her words. It's a serious crime what these farmers and fishermen are doing to the environment. And again, to get us back to one of those earlier clips with Jordan, they just want this authoritarian control over everything in your life. So they want to use a public health crisis, like let's say COVID, to expand government tyrannical power against you. What is the other thing that we have seen talked about more and more over the last couple of years since COVID? Because they ran a test, right, Jordan? What they do? They're going to test you and see what you push back. Well, during COVID, they ran a test about digital IDs and would we have passports to go into restaurants and how many times are you vaxxed? Yes, you can enjoy a nice hamburger over here. Well, here's Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of England, who many people think will be the successor to Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, talking about the need for digital infrastructure so that they can monitor everything about you, from what you put in your body to where you're going to who you're doing business with.
The technology and the digital infrastructure, I just want to emphasize how important I think that is. Because in the end, you need the data. You need to know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been. Some of the vaccines that will come on down the line will be multiple. There'll be multiple shots. So you've got to have, for reasons to do with the healthcare more generally, but certainly for a pandemic or for vaccines, you've got to have a proper digital infrastructure. And many countries don't have that. In fact, most countries don't have that.
Now, do you think that Tony Blair and Klaus Schwab and the rest of those people are doing that because they really care about you? Or is it because they want to see how they can control you? I'm not vaxxed. This guy's not vaxxed. This guy's not vaxxed. This guy's not vaxxed. What business is that of Tony Blair? Sorry, guys. Now Tony Blair is going to come after you. But like, what business is that? And why do we have to have the vaccines just because you want us to have the vaccines? The vaccines that we now know largely don't work, and vaccine injuries, and people's hearts are exploding, and myocarditis, and all of the other stuff. Unless it's not really about the vaccines, it's just about that little test. How can we control you? And do we have any evidence of that? Could anything have happened over the last couple of years that might point us in that direction? Well, do you remember when Justin Trudeau, the horrible communist with the nice socks up in Canada, remember when he became the worst sort of authoritarian leader during COVID because a couple people, some truckers, wanted to open up the country? And what did he do? He froze their bank account.
After weeks of protests, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is taking drastic action to put an end to the Freedom Convoy protests.
The time to go home is now.
Trudeau invoking emergency powers, allowing the government to remove cars and trucks, suspend their insurance, and even freeze truckers' personal and corporate bank accounts. He says the powers will be limited in scope and that he's not calling in the military.
The Emergencies Act will be used to strengthen and support law enforcement agencies at all levels across the country.
They test you and they see, and then they push you again. Guys, that was only 2 years ago. You think they're done with all that? And in retrospect, how ridiculous that people in masks behind him, he walks to the podium with the mask, takes off the mask to speak. That's when you're exerting air and oxygen. Like, it's just so profoundly ridiculous. The man, he should be in jail. Like, if there was a just society, which there isn't, he would be in jail. But again, you can see, okay, so wait a minute. They protested my lockdown policies in Canada. That's Trudeau. So what can we do? Well, we can close their bank accounts. We can arrest them. We can seize their properties. We can close churches. And of course, the next thing that's happening right now is that many governments are trying to come up with centralized central bank digital currency. So right now we have Bitcoin, series, Ethereum, a whole bunch of other peer-to-peer decentralized coins so that you can exchange commerce and buy things or whatever. It has nothing to do with the government. The government can't tax it and all of those things. It's decentralized, but the government loves centralization, right? What did Jordan talk about before? They want a certain power over you, create a whole bunch of problems so that you'll give them more power over you. Here's a great video of Robert F. Kennedy talking about why he opposes central bank digital currencies.
Like the truckers in Canada, they were never charged with a crime. They were certainly never convicted. It was just they were doing something the government didn't like. Oh, the government was able to destroy their lives. And that is a very dangerous power to give government. And that's why I'm against central bank digital currencies, because that is part of the path to getting us where China is today. That's where they started. That's where all these other countries started, with its central bank digital currency. And it's the end of freedom. We will be slaves if we allow that to happen.
That's right. And that's why they want it. Think how easy, if Canada had a central bank digital currency, meaning it's all digitized now, right? And they can literally just a swipe or a tap or a lever, whatever they've got over there in Justin's office, they can just decide who is allowed to get a mortgage. They can decide who is allowed to go shopping. They can just say, okay, we're just wiping out you protested the government. You said something bad about Justin Trudeau. We can just shut you down. So now Western governments across the world are trying to push for this central bank digital currency, which is completely against, as I said, the decentralized idea of Bitcoin, Ethereum, all of the other coins, right? That's what you should want. You should want a decentralized system. So, okay, you buy something from your brother, you buy out. What does that have to do with the government? But you got it. There's the World Economic Forum climate agenda, the vaccine mandates, and all of the endless stuff that they are pushing on us. But could there be something else that's happening right now that most people told us wasn't happening 6 months ago that suddenly we're all seeing videos of, perhaps having something to do with the border and illegal immigration that they are also testing us on? Do you think that might be possible? Talk to you about that in about 30 seconds. But first, let's talk about preserved gold. Guys, new central bank digital currency is coming and could replace your dollars with digital currency. I mean, did we plan an ad today or did we plan an ad? With it could come surveillance of our lives, freezing of assets, and government control of our bank accounts and how we spend our own money. Americans who want to protect their liberty and privacy need to prepare themselves for what's to come. That's why many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver to diversify their wealth. If you want to help protect your retirement, I recommend you request the free investment guide from my friends at Preserve Gold today. They'll explore the right options for you and help you with the process to have physical or gold or silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA, 401k, or other qualified retirement account. And they make it easy. They're a BBB accredited with zero consumer complaints and hundreds of satisfied clients. They're also a founding member of the Precious Metals Association, so you know you're in good hands. And here's an exclusive offer for Rubin Report viewers. They'll give you up to $10,000. Yeah, $10,000 in free gold and silver with a qualified retirement account rollover. They'll even throw in an immediate $500 into your account if you request your investor guide today. So don't wait. Visit preservegold.com/Dave to get your free gold and silver investment guide and take the first step towards helping protect your wealth. Again, that's preservegold.com/Dave to get your free guide from the good people at Preserve Gold. And now back to me. So could there be, have we laid out a program that would lead us to this very moment? There be a crisis that is happening right now? Again, perhaps a crisis that everyone said wasn't a crisis 6 months ago. Perhaps a crisis that a certain orange man back in 2015 was warning about and wanted to build a wall, and we were told he and his supporters were racist. Could there be something happening right now that it's not really about that crisis, but they're trying to create a crisis so that they could get some more control over us? Am I just completely insane? Here's James Lindsay. I love James Lindsay. Here is James Lindsay talking to Winston Marshall. Winston is, I was just on, I just had Winston on our show and I did his show right in this very studio. They were at the ARC conference in London a couple months back, but I was at the big Jordan Peterson ARC conference. And here they are talking about, here's James laying out how as we see the conversation shift towards immigration, the left or the powers that be might be doing something a little tricky as it pertains to that conversation.
There's a kind of paradox there as well, because in America, there's a lot of emphasis given on the indigenous people, but that doesn't work in Europe.
Right, it turns out our white.
Are white people,
yeah,
most
right.
of whom struggle, and
right.
the vast waves of white working classes.
Right.
And so, but there isn't that consideration given. So it's oriented, it kind of translates, comes out differently. It means taking in immigrants from these other boxes.
So I'll predict, like a virologist, how is the COVID-19 virus going to evolve next or whatever, right? Well, I don't know about that, but I do know how this virus is going to evolve next through our Western context, because this is something we actually have in common. Europe, Great Britain, and the United States across the board, Canada also, I think Australia, I know less about the Australian context on this, maybe not Australia, but we've taken in waves and waves and waves and waves of what we're referring to as immigrants. Some of those are legal, especially over here. Many of them in the United States are not. I think we're going to see an adaptation that kind of mixes post-colonial themes and critical race themes into a new kind of monster. It does exist in the literature, but nobody pays much attention to it, of an immigration theory rooted in critical theory. So what we might call critical immigration theory. So the relevant thing isn't going to be indigeneity or skin color, which, as you said, didn't take off that well over here. It will be, what is your, and this will be on both sides of the ocean, what is your attitude toward the migrants that have now come to your country? So what we're going to see is a shift toward what looks very much like critical race theory that draws many themes from the post-colonial canon, but it's going to be specifically geared toward immigration status as a axis of oppression. This is how this will be, I think, the next big wave now that this is kicked off.
Okay, I really want you to get that in your brain, what he said there in those last 20 seconds, that what James is predicting, and I think he is largely right, is that as we see all of these people come in, the argument of, oh, you're racist or whatever, that's not going to hold weight. What will hold weight, in essence, will be that your whole worldview, your whole ethos will have to be connected to whether you think it is good that they are here or not, that we just open our borders and they can have whatever they want, and how you treat them and how you sort of die on the altar of endless immigration and no borders and anything else. What he's basically saying is that is sort of the next adaptation. The way we saw COVID, you know, originally it was 2 weeks to stop the spread, then it was stay in your house a little bit longer, then it was a year later, then schools aren't gonna open. That the immigration conversation, for, you know, 5 years ago it was build a wall. Now we're way past that. Now it's, okay, how many of them can we take in? How many should we make legal? Now it's, oh, up in Massachusetts, they're telling you to house them. That the thing like a virus, the conversation adapts like a virus, and that is a problem. And if you don't think it's a problem, I wanted to show you this video on Friday, but then obviously we did the show a little bit differently than anticipated. Have you seen this video? This is absolutely wild. This is riots breaking out as about 100 migrants push through the border in El Paso, Texas. This is absolutely insane. Guys, that ain't Game of Thrones, right? That's America. And I want to just be very clear about something. I have great sympathy for all those border agents who are not being backed properly or given the wrong instructions or are not staffed enough, whatever you want to call it, by this administration that is intentionally doing this. Again, where are all the women? Where are all the children? Why are all those dudes 25 to 40 and solo, and many of them look like soldiers? And do you think in light of, say, October 7th in Israel, or perhaps the mass terrorist attack, how many people, can we get the amount of people that died in Russia in the terrorist attack over the weekend? It was about 120 people just shot in cold blood by terrorists in Russia. It doesn't matter what you think about Russia or what you think about Putin or anything else. Do you think that maybe not having control of our own border is a problem right now? But okay, well, let's see what the media is saying about all of this, because the video that we just showed you there, an image of it made it to the front page of the New York Post. Here's how Chuck Scarborough on the televised mental institution known as MSNBC covered it.
If I were a Democrat running for office, I would do this. I would be carrying this around all day. Look at what the Republicans are doing to you. Look what Donald Trump's doing to you. Donald Trump said, and by the way, this is for you at home. So come to the at-home camera, TJ. Thank you. God bless. So good.
I can't even play the rest of that clip. He is trying to blame Donald Trump for the people that are rampaging through our border right now. When Donald Trump wanted a wall, that was racist, and we've got to do everything to stop the fascist, racist, orange Hitler guy. And now Donald Trump, who is not in office, right? Now it's somehow his fault. Now his argument, I'll just try to steal a man, his argument is, oh, well, Donald Trump encourage the Republicans to not sign on to the bipartisan deal that would have stopped this, except we have all of the laws to stop an invasion and everything else. So what he would rather do is blame Donald Trump rather than the people who are coming across and the elderly man pretending to be president who has done all of this and his clown car of ridiculous officials. But let's connect this to what's going on in some of the states, because actually in some of the states, horrible things are happening. We know that services are being overrun. They're kicking out homeless people out of New York City homeless shelters to put in migrants. Hotels have been taken over, crime, drugs, all of those things. Well, in Massachusetts, there was a young woman a couple weeks ago who was raped by an illegal immigrant. Now, Massachusetts, Boston, as a city, is a sanctuary city. Massachusetts has been very open to these people. They've been encouraging people to come and let them into your home, and maybe they'll cook for you and everything else. Well, here is Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey, and listen to how absolutely dismissive she is.
It's a very unfortunate situation where an individual who had been screened and allowed in is accused of raping a young girl in one of these shelters. Kelly Ayotte, the former senator, is now running for governor of New Hampshire, is trying to make a campaign issue out of your remark that the shelter rape shows the quote, things will happen. She said, this is the problem with politicians. There are real consequences for dangerous sanctuary policies. Maura Healey should be ashamed of herself, end quote. What's your response to her?
Well, obviously that wasn't the whole quote that I gave. John, I was formerly the chief law enforcement officer for Massachusetts, a former prosecutor. What happened to this young victim, this 15-year-old girl, is exactly why the federal government needs to act, Congress needs to act, people need to do their job and fix this.
I think I mistakenly said that the young lady was killed. She was raped, obviously. Now, of course, I was a prosecutor. I'm very serious about this stuff. The federal government has to do something. Oh, well, the federal government isn't doing anything. And that is from your party, the Democrat Party. Also, you, Maura Healey, you've previously advocated for Massachusetts residents to house illegal immigrants, which, of course, is going to put women in danger. So once again, you guys get it. The Democrats, by and large, bring in all of the bad policies, sanctuary cities, all of these things. Then bad things happen, and they somehow never get that mirror that I keep meaning to send to all of these people. But you know what happens? The more that we have these bad policies here, and we showed you, we can show you endless amounts of videos of what happens with these bad policies, obviously the crime and everything else. The more that these bad policies are enacted, the more that people in other parts of the world are like, oh, let's just go to America, because they'll basically let us walk in and they'll give us a whole bunch of stuff. So this video is wild. This is a TikToker who, here he is, giving illegal immigrants instructions on how to invade homes in America because they will not kick you out if you go to a progressive city. This is wild.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States. Ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla. Capichi, muchachos, aquí en United States también se aplica la de invasión de terreno. Y creo que ese será mi próximo negocio. Invadir casas abandonadas. Ya que me he buscado unos códigos con mis amigos africanos. Y me dijeron que ya llevan como 7 casas expropiadas. Y como dice el dicho, papi, hay que buscar la vuelta. Y la vuelta ahorita mismo es invadir casas. Ya que nos encontramos en situación de calle y es la única manera que tenemos para no vivir en la calle y no ser una carga pública. Capichi, la ley dice que las casas abandonadas, deterioradas y que esté en mal estado, podemos llegar y repararlas, vivir en ella y si podemos venderla, hasta pedir créditos con ella. ¿Qué dicen?
All right, for those of you who know habla español, who are listening to the audio podcast, he basically says, oh, I know people who are going to America and there are laws in some of these cities that if a house is abandoned or dilapidated, et cetera, you can just jump in and take that house and you can even sell that house if you want. Okay, so they are instructing people to come. We showed you a video last week of a homeowner. Was it in Brooklyn or Queens? I think it was in Queens. We're going to show you a little B-roll of her in just a second. Of a homeowner in Queens who somebody moved into her house and the police arrested her. But because this has been a rather depressing Monday show, what's going on here? Can we turn this thing around? I think we can, because guys, decline is a choice. It is a choice, and there are some places in America where we are not choosing to decline. We are choosing to fix things. So now I want to show you a 26-second video juxtaposing the difference of what happens when you invade a home in New York and what happens when you invade a home in Florida.
As to the person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday. And if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money.
All right, again, for those of you listening on the audio podcast, we're showing you two videos right there. One of them was the homeowner in Queens who her million-dollar house got invaded squatters, and then they arrested her. That's happening in New York. And then, of course, the audio that you were hearing was a press conference by a Florida sheriff saying, yeah, go ahead. Somebody breaks into your house, shoot them. We will have law and order in the state. And by the way, it's so interesting also because he's not saying, don't just rely on us, which if we go back to that one of those first videos I showed you of Jordan and that Destiny guy, it's like, you better call the police. Well, actually, if you have a gun and you can learn how to use the gun, you actually can defend yourself and be less reliant on the system. Lefties are very, very skeptical of the system. And they also want to give up all of their autonomy to the system that they're very skeptical of. It's quite bizarre and actually not that bright if you think about it for about half a second. But what else is happening besides home invasions? Well, this one out of Minnesota, Keith Ellison. This guy is a piece of work. He is the Attorney General of Minnesota, and there's been a lot of car break-ins, and they're stealing a lot of cars in Minnesota. So who is he blaming? Is he blaming the people who are stealing the cars, or who maybe haven't been taught the right things and who don't abide by the law? Or is he blaming the car manufacturers? Well, he's a progressive, so you get it. He's going to get it wrong. Go.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal, so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
These people are completely effing bananas. It is not the responsibility. The car manufacturer makes a car. Most cars have a lock on it. Have either one of you ever seen a car that doesn't have a lock? Like, every car has a lock. I guess some of them are different. Some of them are a little harder. It's probably a little harder to break into a Bugatti than, say, a Gremlin. Where were you going to go? What car were you going with? A Gremlin. A Ford Focus. It's harder to break into a Bugatti than a Ford Focus. No offense to any of you that have Ford Focuses. But instead of addressing what the real issue is, because the progressives don't want to address the real issue. The real issue, when he's talking about, well, young people are so tempted to break into cars. Well, maybe there's some family stuff that's not being dealt with properly. Maybe there's some education stuff that's not being dealt with properly. Maybe you're not teaching them basic civics or I don't know, maybe that stealing is bad. You could do some Ten Commandment type stuff with these people. But the problem really is we better sue the freaking car companies because the locks on the cars aren't good enough. It's absolutely insane. But guys, there is a binary choice for America. Decline is a choice, and we have a binary choice. Do we want law and order? Do we want people to flourish and have a chance to follow that dream, whatever that dream might be? Or do you want just the endless descent into hell via a system that doesn't give a flying F about you? Well, as you might know, it's spring break time here in Florida, and spring break across the country. And tons and tons of people come to Miami usually. They come to Fort Lauderdale. Miami seems to be the main place, Miami Beach, a lot of celebs, a lot of athletes, a lot of partiers. And every year there are a certain amount of videos of people just kind of going crazy and creating mayhem. Well, we showed you a video about 2 weeks ago where the Miami police put out a video saying, hey, we're not going to put up with it anymore. And here's the series of things we're going to do. We're going to make arrests quicker. There's going to be a curfew. And by the way, now store owners and restaurant owners and club owners, they're happier because it's safer for people. They aren't having, you know, you're not walking into a yogurt shop and just punching the yogurt girl, which is happening everywhere else. But here is a Miami Beach restaurant owner praising Florida's spring break laws and talking about how things are flourishing here because there's law and order and people still come down here to enjoy the beach, the weather, and the margaritas.
Call you my president. I got so many phone calls from business owners, hotel owners, restaurant owners, all in the hospital, kitty business, to thank you. And thank our mayor, the commissioner, Chief Jones. It was the best spring break we ever had. It was the first year that restaurants, hotels didn't have to close down. It was the first year we didn't have to hire private security. We had such a nice clients. We had good tourists. Residents stayed here, and we had many of our businesses made more money than last year. We had no damages.
Isn't that something? You have basic law and order. You tell people they can't just ransack stores and shut down streets and stop traffic and all of that stuff. And then what you get are businesses that are making more money. And you get that guy right there. Like, that's what it's all about. The guy's got a business. He wants his business to flourish. He doesn't need the government to run his business. He needs the government to do the bare minimum to make sure that he can run his business effectively. And when you have law and order, and then people start, they'll come here more, it's safer. And over time, that actually will just keep building on itself. Or you can go to places where all hell's gonna break loose. But it's not just here in Miami Beach. All over the state of Florida right now, we are practicing law and order, right? We showed you a video, a couple weeks back, where there was an illegal immigrant who raped a woman, I think it was in Tampa, and ICE put the guy back out on the streets because they claimed they didn't have enough beds. Well, DeSantis had him arrested in about a half hour. Check this out. This is a Florida sheriff, and we don't mess with Texas. We gotta, don't mess with Florida, motherfucker.
I'm St. Lucie County Sheriff Keith Pearson. Earlier today, Elijah thought he's going to drive through St. Lucie County in a stolen vehicle and get into a car crash, working closely with the Florida Highway Patrol, not only on the sea, but on land. Elijah's now in custody. Our message is this to criminals.
Not in St. Lucie.
I love this state. I am never leaving this state. They can bury me in the Everglades. I'm not kidding. When I'm gone, like when I'm... when that's it, when they take me out, like if they want to just throw me in the Everglades and let the gators eat me, that will be okay. That's how much I love this place. We are doing it right, and decline is a choice. And if you live in a place where they are choosing decline, yes, yes, bring all the illegal immigrants here. Oh, they did rape that 15-year-old girl, but I was, it's like enough, enough. But why am I showcasing this? Why am I trying to show you this binary choice? Because it's not just America. There are places that are doing it right. One of the places doing it right now is a place that was doing it wrong for about 30 years and had the highest rates of homicide, was basically a third world country, and was in complete free-for-all. Then they bring in a new guy. They bring in a new president, Bukele. And yes, El Salvador, it turns around, and now it is incredibly safe. They're getting massive investment. The whole country is turning around. And check this out. Bukele put this out himself. He is the now reelected president of El Salvador. There were two homicides in a neighborhood in El Salvador last week. Check out this video he put out. And do you think this might encourage people to not kill other people going forward? Again, for those of you listening to the audio podcast, that was a video of thousands of well-organized troops standing there. What he is showing you is, oh, we've got troops. We're not going to put up with this. And then two guys on their knees, handcuffed on their knees. You guys did bad things. We're going to do bad things to you. As Bukele has pointed out, and we've shown you clips of this a couple times, like governments if government has to exist at all, right? Well, then governments have to be in the... they have to be doing the job that we think we're electing them to do, which is just creating the conditions so we can live freely. Unfortunately, right now in America, we have one party that is completely out of control. That's the Democrat Party, right? They blow, and I get it. The Republican Party mostly sucks, but it is not completely psychotic and bent on destroying America. That's pretty much where we are right now. And what, and the reason you know that, well, there's all sorts of reasons you know that. The evidence is constantly there. But also, all of the same Democrats are leaving the party, right? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. left the party. Lifelong Democrat Elon Musk left the party. Billionaire Bill Ackerman leaving the Democrats. Like, we know this is happening right now. And who really was pretty damn close to becoming the Democrat nominee for president last time until the entire party went after her and Hillary Clinton said she was a Russian asset? Well, that is Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard, who is I would say was a moderate Dem, and now is, she's not a Republican, but she ain't a Democrat anymore, just like RFK. Here she is, Tulsi Gabbard, who's in the military right now. She's an active serving member of our military. Hillary Clinton had the balls to say she was a Russian asset. Remember that? Do you remember that? Here she is on the Drinking Bros podcast talking about how Democrats in the Washington Uniparty are basically trying to destroy everything.
We have multiple fires around the world that are pushing us closer and closer to the brink of, you know, war, World War III, nuclear catastrophe. Those are things that I would be honored to be in a position to actually help solve these problems and get us back to where we need to be.
Do you think voting for Republicans is the way to solve that? Because I don't think I agree with that, frankly.
I know that the Democratic Party, President Biden, President Harris, you know, there's a lot of questions. Oh, is there someone going to be switched out? Mm. It doesn't really matter whether it's President Biden or someone else. Because we've seen how the Democrat elite across the board are intent on holding on to power and willing to destroy our country in the process. So, you know, whoever people want to vote for, they can vote for, but understand and know that to be true. And there are so many pieces of evidence that prove that. I'm not saying, you know, there are problems in the Republican Party as well. You look at the Uniparty in Washington, made up of both Democrats and Republicans, are eager to go to war.
Everything she said there is true, right? And remember, this is a lifelong Democrat. She was a progressive. I know for those of you that are more conservative leaning, you're still not fully where she, you know, you're not thrilled with her on, say, abortion, or you're not thrilled with her on the Second Amendment. I think she's really coming around on the Second Amendment specifically. We've discussed it and we'll continue to discuss it next time I have her on. But what she's saying right there is the Democrats, basically, it's just interchangeable parts. It doesn't matter if it's the dementia guy or the idiot. It's like, it just doesn't matter. They have decided what route they are going down of open borders and crime and not blaming the people who commit the crime, but blaming the car manufacturers for their lock. Like, you get all of that. And then really what she said is the Republican Party kind of sucks, right? They kind of suck, but they're probably a little bit better. Trump is a little bit different than that. Now, there are some rumors, by the way, that maybe she would be a VP choice for Trump. I have no inside knowledge on that. Who knows? I think it would be seriously interesting if she joined forces with RFK. That might be something interesting, too. Either way, we just need more sane voices. But clearly, and again, that's why at the beginning of the show, we debated it this morning, like whether we were going to even show you any of those clips of Jordan and that Destiny guy, because it's not that his arguments are good, but there is so little left on the left that makes sense. And yet you have to admire the fact that they have an entire machine dedicated to confusing people so they vote for a party that is destroying their lives and destroying this country. Like, if the devil is due, it's just true. So what is the point in demonstrating that the client is a choice? Well, I think the more that you display it, the more sane people that you will bring to your side, right? There was a guy that about a decade ago did a video called Why I Left the Left. And got an awful lot of hate for it. And then people started being like, wait a minute, this identity politics thing is kind of bad. And why am I paying so much in taxes and getting so little in return and all the, and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's pretty good. Like, say what you think, expose the nonsense. Maybe people come along. But I think there's something else, because the more you display it, the more easy it is to expose the liars and the con men who operate in service of the machine. So now I want to show you what I hope will maybe be the last clip of Don Lemon we ever play on the show. I think this might be the end for Don Lemon on the Rubin Report program, because as you know, Don launched a show on X, Twitter, last week. He did not have a contract with Elon Musk. He launched a show just like any of you could launch a show. And as a favor to him, Elon Musk said, I will be the guest on your first show. There was no contract. There was no money exchanged or anything else. It was just as if anyone else signed up for X and said, I'm going to put my show on this thing. Don Lemon demanded a $5 million advance. He also wanted a Cybertruck and he wanted to own a piece of Twitter. None of that came to fruition. Then Don went all over the media, said he was fired by Elon because the interview didn't go as well. Anyway, I really think this is going to be the last time. I want to start doing this. I want to get a list of people that we will no longer talk about. Not because we're afraid to talk about them like Voldemort, but because their ideas are so thin and they've just run, they've just been in service to a machine that is so awful, they're not worthy of talking about. So I would like to say, starting right now, Don Lemon, you are the first one. We need a catchy name for the list. Can we come up with a catchy name? We will have a meeting after the show to come up with a name for this list. The list of useless losers or something like that. So this is our last Don Lemon clip. Here is Don Lemon. He has now lied about being fired by Elon Musk. He gave an awful interview. And why is he... Well, he's getting a lot of shit because of it. And of course, the real problem is not that he's a terrible interviewer or that he's in service to a machine that fired him from CNN in the first place. It's mostly that Elon Musk doesn't like him because he's gambling.
And people have been asking me what I meant by when I said he did not like answering questions or being held to account from people like me. And so some people took it to mean a racial thing. I meant someone who has a different worldview. But since people raised it and you said what you said, do you think that he was uncomfortable? I didn't want to go there. Do you think he was uncomfortable sitting in front of a gay black guy?
Probably more gay than black, I would think. I hate to say that, but I don't know.
I mean, answer questions from...
I don't think he likes control beyond himself. And okay. So it doesn't matter who's exerting it. I don't think he much likes Joe Biden.
All right, he's talking to another progressive wizard who blames everything on racism and sexism and all that. It had nothing to do, Elon, he did your show. He knew you were a gay homosexual before he did your show. Do you think in the middle of it, he suddenly was like, I can't take it with this guy anymore. I just realized what I stepped into. No, it was because your questions were horrible. They were so out of touch with what really is going on. You were still running in service of the censorship machine and the big media machine that's lying to everyone about everything. But Don is doing the perfect leftist move, which at the end is not that like the work that I did was bad or didn't make sense or wasn't useful in any way. It's that I'm gay and black, but I didn't really want to go there. Well, congratulations, Don Lemon. You're on the Rubin Report's useless person list. And we will not talk, like, it's going to take an awful lot. I don't know what it would take, but it will take an awful lot for us to put Lemon on the show again. So goodbye, Lemon. I feel something's been lifted off my chest. Just a couple more for you, because one of the problems here is that what Lemon did right there was of course, blame everything on immutable characteristics. And when you blame everything on I'm black and that's the problem, or I'm gay and that's the problem, or that's a man and that's a problem, there is this move to hate men. And we see this throughout mainstream media all the time. The View on Friday, check out the entire panel. We're not even gonna focus on any particular one of these harpies. The entire panel, they all hate men, including some of the men that they're married to, which the guys might want to look into that.
So there's this clip going viral online of a dozen women being asked the following question. Do we need men? Most answered very quickly, no. And only one said she thought women needed a man in their lives. Only one. But when men were asked a similar question, do we need women? Most of them said yes. So why do you think that is?
Because men are useless. I mean, love it. And by the way, I want to differentiate between straight men and gay men, because I think I would die without gay men. Nobody can gossip like gay men. Nobody can help you accessorize like gay men. Nobody can help you keep you from doing harm to yourself. My husband, it takes a village of women to make sure that he's not emaciated, starving, and living in his own filth. He can, really? You know.
Broadly speaking, I feel like men have proven largely useless. Like, I think in the political moment, the people who are what needs to be said in my party, it's all women. The very few men, with the exception of Mike Pence and a few others, are saying what they need to. But in life, like, I need my husband. I don't know if I need any other men, but he is irreplaceable.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, I think so.
But that's the whole thing. We like our husbands. We just don't need men beyond that.
Look at that, Alyssa Farah, the paid pet conservative, saying something sort of sane right at the end after she jumps in on the fracas. First off, I just want to be clear that this Anna Navarro, I mean, first off, your husband should leave you. Who would want to be around that? Also, it's still so the most pathetic stereotyping of cliched gay men. I want nothing to do with that disgusting wench. Men are useless. Men are useless. You know, I've been to The View many times. I've been to The View to watch the program many times years ago. And you're not going to believe this, but all the crew guys, the guys who hang the lights, the guys who move the set, the guys who do all of the actual work besides sit at the table, it's all guys. It's all guys. Why is it that it's a whole bunch of men who work in our sewers? Why is it always a whole bunch of men who build our skyscrapers, right? You're going to find, you know, you have a problem with your septic tank. Can I get a woman to get in there and fix that septic tank? Like, no, it is just complete nonsense. And since we started with Jordan Peterson, we will end with Jordan Peterson. Because, yeah, we do need men. Although, what did she say? She said that it was... Anna said that gay men help her from not killing herself, basically, right? Something to that effect. And it's like, if you're gay out there and you're friends with her, okay, Jordan.
It's okay to be a man.
It's not okay. It's necessary. What the hell are we going to do without men? You look around the city here, you see all these buildings go up. These men, they're doing impossible things. They're under the streets, working on the sewers. They're up on the power lines in the storms and the rain. They're keeping this impossible infrastructure functioning, this thing that works in a miraculous manner. They work themselves to death. And often, literally, the gratitude for that is sorely lacking, especially among the people who should be most grateful. You see university professors, especially of the social justice bent, they take everything they have for granted, failing to understand entirely that there's a massive infrastructure of unbelievably hardworking, solidly laboring, working-class men breaking themselves in half on a regular basis, making sure that everything that always breaks works.
But the ladies of The View, they don't need those men, right? They just need gay men to make sure they don't kill themselves, which really is so poetically insane. I don't even know what to say. Guys, the point of all of this, and I suppose the point of today's show, is that if you tell the truth, you will make the machine look stupid. And the more we make it look stupid, the more people that will wake up. They'll hopefully walk away from the Democrat Party, and it doesn't mean they have to be Republicans, but we will all just kind of wake up. We will realize that our differences are not so wide. Yes, from the woke, yeah, and from the globalists, sure. But the rest of us, the sane ones, most of the people who, as I always say, just want to return to 1995 when it was pretty damn good, we can somehow fix this thing. It's not exactly political, but I do think we can fix this thing. Guys, my full interview with Isabel Brown is up across platforms right now. We've got a post-game show in just moments, rubinreport.locals.com, and People of the Internet live at 1 p.m. Thank you for watching this Monday edition of The Rubin Report. And I bid you adieu, Don Lemon. Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.